Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
We have a great show for you today. We're going to start off by talking with Diego Vargas about how Art Hop went this past week as an isolated event outside of the outdoor festival that people have come to expect. After that, we're going to be talking to Juliana Morano about a school district dispute in the foothills, and then we'll close with two of our reporters sharing what they're loving this week.
We have Diego Vargas, Fresnolands community correspondent, here to talk with us about the most recent changes happening to Art Hop. Diego attended the most recent September Art Hop this last week. What did you see at Art Hop?
The foot traffic that Fresnans are often used to seeing when you go to Art Hop, we're just not there. This was a trend that was started in August after the changes were made to Art Hop that restricted vendors, artists, and food trucks from setting up shop right along Fulton. And it was more of the same yesterday. There was virtually no foot traffic outside of the indoor facilities, any of the businesses, so such as Tioga.
Do you think that was because people were driving between venues, or what was it like inside the venues?
Inside the venues, they were pretty populated, but to give you an idea of how empty the spaces were, you could pull up to Fulton Street in your car and you could find a parking meter spot in front of Sun Stereo Warehouse, and you could park your car. And that's just not something that you were able to do months ago when Art Hop was still at its peak and it was still growing, and you could come down, but you could not find a parking spot. It is the complete opposite now. You can find a parking meter virtually anywhere now at Art Hop, and the hustle and bustle that you would see on the sidewalks is just completely gone. There's nothing there.
And then what were people saying when you talked to people about how they were feeling about the changes to the event and their experience? What did they say?
It was a lot of uneasiness, a lot of uncertainty. I guess now would be a good time to bring up that the city themselves has announced that they will be doing a new event called Why Not Wednesdays, which will be coming very soon. That is essentially going to be the replacement event where all the vendors can go set up shops so that Fresnans can still enjoy these local businesses and food trucks. But because of this pivot to a new event that's now on Wednesday, it leaves Art Hop in an awkward position where now it's Thursday, there's no food trucks there, the vendors are not going to be there because they're going to be focused primarily on Wednesdays. And because of that, you have this weird dynamic where you go out to Art Hop and you don't see anything. You have to peek inside.
So it's hidden. It's hidden now. And I went last night, full disclosure, just to one place. I went to Moto to meet some friends and eat, and then also admire the art they had on display. And I would say it was probably 80% people just eating and hanging out, and maybe 20% people coming through and looking at the art on exhibitions.
I noticed in your story about the most recent Art Hop Diego that Mike Oz, who full disclosure is on the Fresnoland Board of Directors, said that when you have an event that was as successful as Art Hop with 15,000 people coming regularly downtown, you can't recreate that success overnight. Do you think that this is a ramping up period for the new version of Art Hop, and it might, were any of the people that you talked to optimistic that there could still be some return of what Art Hop used to be?
The prevailing sentiment that I felt and that I saw through my reporting was this feeling of almost quiet and tempered expectation from a lot of the business owners there. I did speak to Priscilla Perez. They are the co-owner of Sour Milk at Tower District, because what I found out was the changes made to Art Hop didn't just affect businesses in downtown, it also affected them at Tower District, where some of the businesses there would open up their spaces and allow vendors to come in. And what Priscilla said was, they're going to have to see first what the crowds are like for Why Not Wednesdays. You can't really judge the success of that just from the first time going around. They said that they don't doubt that similar success can be achieved in the future after a period of time, but that they also didn't expect these 15,000 people to come from the get-go on the very first day.
Great. Thanks for joining us, Diego.
Thank you.
So Today we have Juliana Morano with us, a frequent guest of Fresnolandia and a Fresnoland labor and economy reporter, to talk with us about a story that she has been reporting on for the last week involving 600 acres of land that could potentially be transferred from Sierra Unified School District to Clovis Unified School District. The land includes an exurb gated community called Ventana Hills. Juliana, tell us a little bit about where this proposal came from and what the petitioners want.
For sure. This petition was brought forward by residents of Ventana Hills, the gated community you just alluded to. It is a Granville Homes built subdivision.
And it's adjacent from the casino, Table Mountain, correct?
Okay. Yes.
So right there. So if you're driving up, you'll see the big casino, and that's a sign you're getting close.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and I drove there Wednesday, then went to Sierra Unified, an elementary school, the next day, and my signal was going in and out as I drove up there. It's definitely quite a ways from both Fresno and Clovis. The petitioners, again, they are residents of the Ventana Hills community. 16 of them had verified signatures. They were verified by the Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, which is the body that this petition was submitted to. And they, like you said, are seeking a territory transfer of over 600 acres of territory from Sierra Unified, where it currently is districted, to Clovis Unified. So their chief petitioner, his name is Mark Thurston. He's a resident of the community. He actually does not have a child going to Sierra Unified. His daughter, he shared, is in private school right now. But he was speaking on behalf of residents, but shared some of his own reasons, which are that, so he's actually a Bakersfield realtor. So he most of the time is working remotely, but he also has a wife whose job is in downtown Fresno. And when his daughter later starts high school, he would rather have her attend a Clovis school and go down the hill to where his wife's work is, his daughter's extracurriculars are, rather than drive what he described as another roughly 13 miles up the hill to Sierra Unified. So some of the reasons he shared had to do with people's commutes. A lot of them kind of have more ties to Clovis than to Sierra Unified and the hill area.
And Ventana Hills, just so our audience is clear, it's an exurb.
They're actually only, according to the petitioners, I think 16 homes that are occupied right now in that community.
And 16?
Yes.
16. 16.
And okay. Across those, there are only 10 children who are either currently school aged or will soon be able to go to school, according to Thurston, who okay. shared that. And only two of those 10 kids, go to Sierra Unified. Something interesting that has come up is that even though this petition for territory transfer has received signatures from 16 residents, the two families who have their kids at Sierra Unified right now apparently told Thurston, he said this on the record, would, even though they support the petition, would intend to do an interdistrict transfer and send their kids back to Sierra Unified even if the petition goes through.
That is wild.
Truly. So what's been the pushback from Sierra? Has there been any?
There has been an immense amount of pushback, pretty unanimous across board members at Sierra Unified, residents who came to a public hearing that took place this week, and then also some consultants and legal counsel contracted by the district. And they have a number of concerns. Among them are that losing not only the Ventana Hills neighborhood, but those additional 400 undeveloped acres could curb future growth for the district. Their district has seen declining enrollment recently, they say.
And we'll circle back to talking about how schools are funded, because I think this is a big part of it, and understanding how ADA works and
yes.
how schools are funded is important. So we'll circle back to that, but
yes.
continue.
That's been among the concerns they've cited, how this could affect their attendance figures. But losing out on that undeveloped territory could take away future students in addition to the two current students that they have in Ventana Hills. And not only that, but losing that territory would affect their bonding capacity. They do have a $24 million bond on the November ballot for the upcoming election. But yeah, those are some of the concerns that they've stated. And as Jordan said, losing students does in turn lead to losing out on state funding, which could mean cuts to programs. And they are already a relatively small district. They have a little over 1,200 students, according to CDE data.
Which is about the size of two student body classes at a Clovis High School.
They're a fraction of the size. But in addition to those concerns related to funding and the number of students they have, Sierra Unified has also been very overtly critical of who they think this petition is truly coming from. So as I mentioned, the Ventana Hills community is a Granville Homes development, and a lot of the Sierra Unified community members are saying this is just an attempt by a developer to increase property values of his homes and potentially his future homes. And that developer they're alluding to is Darius Assemi, the CEO of Granville Homes. Part of why they're concerned about that is that this is not the first time, apparently, that Darius Assemi has approached them about wanting to absorb territory from Sierra Unified to Clovis Unified. Part of why they're concerned about that is because they say this is not the first time Granville Homes has approached them about the marketability of homes that are in Sierra Unified versus Clovis Unified. At a public hearing that took place this past week related to the petition, an attorney for the school district referenced a 2012 board meeting when Darius Assemi was quoted as telling Sierra Unified that my customers walk into my sales office and one of the first questions they ask is, what school district are you in? Are you Clovis Unified? And when the answer is no, they turn around and go right back out. So that's part of where Sierra Unified, their criticism that this is a developer-backed and specifically Granville-backed effort is coming from.
Talk about big school districts versus small school districts. Average daily attendance in California is how schools are funded, right? You get a certain amount of money per student. Smaller school districts have a higher base rate, which means if you're a school district within a certain parameter, you're going to get more per student. Now, big school districts, no, they have a lower base rate. They benefit from economies of scale. Let's just talk about programs, for example. If you're a smaller school district, you're going to struggle to put on a ton of programs just because you just don't have those economies of scale of having a large population. So that's part of the challenge. There's higher per student administrative costs if you're a smaller school district. So if you think about it, there's 1,200 kids, that requires a whole administration team to do a number of things, whether it's student services, vice principals. So that's distributed amongst a larger population in a place like Clovis Unified. And so as your populations decrease, and this is another area where small school districts struggle, small fluctuations in their student population can have huge impacts because there's just a small number of students. And so what's on the flip side of this, which is interesting, is that there's a lot of smaller school districts that don't want to unify. The famous example is Chowchilla, which is a city of about 20,000 people. It has three different school districts, Dairyland, the high school, and then an elementary school district in one town. They all have their administrations, they all have school boards, they all have superintendents, they all have principals and vice principals that run each of those schools. So they're duplicating services where they could benefit from economies of scale if they unified. Now, why do people don't want to unify? Because they like control. And that's why a lot of people move to these smaller outlying school districts for control. The challenge is if you have those fluctuations, which may occur, obviously it's a, as Juliana explained, it's a very small amount of students that could be leaving. That doesn't really seem to be the biggest issue here. But I think what Sierra is probably identifying is the fear that this could become a trend where you could have these remote areas of well-to-do people that are paying high property taxes for expensive real estate that contribute to the funding of their school, wanting to, even if they're, you know, how far away is Clovis Unified's current boundary from where Ventana is? It's probably,
it's between 8 and 10 miles.
So are we going to see a future where you have people being pulled into districts in a satellite capacity where they're not even connected, and you could just jump on a school district that has a name that you benefit from and services you benefit from. Like that would be maybe a fear that I would feel. But in terms of the actual ADA for Sierra, I don't think that's going to be the biggest issue, just given the amount of students that we're talking about. But it is something to think about. Big school districts benefit from a lot of things, and small school districts have different challenges. And yeah, it's an interesting situation. I don't know. It feels, yeah, there's two stories here.
And we have this incentive structure via Prop 13 in California, where after it was passed, school districts, local governments had even more of an incentive to draw their boundaries in such a way that they didn't feel like there was a burden to provide services for properties that they felt like were not like contributing an equal or proportionate share of revenue. And so you've seen in like the post Prop 13 era, a lot more attempts to keep fiefdoms in place, to keep school districts more homogenous in terms of class or race, as a way to make sure that they're not just cut this because I'm not explaining it.
No, well, I think you're doing a good job. I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. What's most interesting is Clovis and Sierra are not the school districts where you typically see antagonisms between small rural mountain community and an upscale school district and kind of sprawl areas of a city. You know, typically what is issues with, you know, adjoining school districts where you're having busing, like in the 70s,
right,
where you have a lot of challenges with that and like people moving around and people wanting white flight related to that.
And it's interesting, and Juliana, I'm sure you could share a little bit more about this, but there are some sort of policy safeguards that the state has to make sure that school districts aren't just changing their boundaries to enrich some people's property. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. In terms of who makes the decision on this petition, I think that's important. It's not really in the school district's hands anymore. Sierra Unified has staunchly opposed it. Clovis Unified has taken a neutral stance. But although that input is out there, this decision is now in the hands of the Fresno County Committee on School District Organization. It has 11 members. It's under the Fresno County Superintendent of Schools' office. And what they are now tasked with, first, they have to hold two hearings, one in each impacted district. This week was the first hearing. In addition to that, they have to ensure that the territory transfer meets 9 criteria that are outlined in the education code. That includes a range of things. One that's being commonly cited, particularly by Sierra Unified, is that one of the criteria says the proposed reorganization cannot primarily be designed to increase property value. So that is the one that Sierra Unified is latching onto, because they say this is really just a developer-backed petition that is about property values.
It's such a tricky rubric for that, because how do you determine that? It's, no one's going to put that on paper, and it's just, it's a vibe check almost, right? And so I think it really comes down to who's on that, sitting on that committee, and how they think about the way we should organize our school districts. I think that's probably how I would look at it, I would imagine.
One thing I'll also flag is that it's an 11-member committee, but one person, her name is Connie Schlafer. She is a Sierra Unified board member, so she has recused herself from this decision. The remaining board members, there are also many of them on other school boards across the county.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be an issue that keeps recurring, because we're seeing Sproul now in Madera County that's pushing a lot of school districts to expand. And as more and more people move in to these areas, there's going to be a lot of questions about the value of their school district and who absorbs these outlying areas, some in Madera County and some in Fresno County too. So I think this is going to be an ongoing.
So as a parent, I feel like, on the one hand, I totally get parents' desire to want to put your kids in the best public schools possible, or the best schools possible, full stop. Totally get that. And I'm a product of very mediocre schools until college and grad school. And I just think that sometimes you see this, and this, Fresno and Clovis are not unique to this, but there does seem to be a bit of groupthink that happens with a lot of parent circles, where people start to say this is the desirable school, and so everyone kind of flocks to that. And it's not that Clovis Unified hasn't deserved decent, if not well-earned, reputation around good academics, but there are a lot of great schools in this region. There are a lot of great options also in Fresno Unified, also in Sanger Unified, also in Central Unified, also in Selma Unified. And I think that the glomming on to Clovis, it's become this marketing selling point, and it ends the conversation about school choice, school success, school outcomes, and different kids belong in different types of schools for a lot of different reasons. And I wish we had more of a complex and nuanced debate around this, and we really are not.
Where do we go from here, Juliana?
I think to build on the point Donnie made about Clovis Unified serving as a marketing tool, that is something that came up in these conversations, and I had the chance to speak with a Fresno area realtor, Joe Haydock. He affirmed what I think people might assume, that Clovis Unified is used by local realtors frequently as a selling point when they're trying to sell homes to people. As for what comes next, like I said, this was the first of two hearings required to take place in response to this petition. The first one took place in Sierra Unified at Foothill Elementary School. The room was packed, over 200 people, 30 Sierra Unified public commenters voiced their opposition to the petition. At that hearing, there were only three folks who spoke up in favor of the transfer, and that was Darius Assemi, another Granville employee, Priscilla Presto, and then a resident of Ventana Hills, Anjali Black, who's a PG&E executive along with her husband and a resident of this community. As for the next hearing, that will take place at Clovis Unified's professional development building where they have board meetings. That's 1680 David E. Cook Way. That hearing will be Tuesday, September 17th. We'll start at 5:30, and like this past hearing in Sierra Unified, people can come and sign up for public comment either in favor of the petition or against it.
Today for What We're Loving, we're going to hear from Diego Vargas and Pablo Orihuela at Fresno Land.
Hi, my name is Pablo Orihuela. I am the housing reporter here at Fresno Land. And what I'm loving this week is the key lime iced tea at Teasers. It's very hot and I love tea and I love lime, and it is one of the best ways for me to beat this heat lately.
Hello, everyone. Diego from Fresno Land here. And this week, what I've been enjoying is films by Akira Kurosawa. I remember first watching Seven Samurai years ago when I was taking a film class at Fresno State, and I remember just being very enamored with Kurosawa's style of making movies. But I've been watching Seven Samurai, Dreams, Yojimbo, and Rashomon, and I recommend everyone watch at least one Kurosawa film, at least in their life, because he has a very distinct style.
This has been Fresno Landia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan. And our song comes from Stateless Rat.